I think we need to talk about the contrast between the love of the Lord and the hate of the enemy. We have to understand tonight that we are in a battle. We're in a conflict with an enemy that doesn't play, well, I don't even think there is any rules. But if there were rules, he would be the one for sure that would not play by the rules. And his only objective is to destroy the church. That's all he's up. That's all he cares about. He wants to stop the progress and the movement, the forward movement of the church of Jesus Christ. That's his sole mission. And he doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care who he hurts in the process. And so he's the influence of the enemy throughout our lives has begun that process of just building a little bit of hate on 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 a little bit of hate until we find ourselves living in a world today that is filled with hate. And I think about my life as a young person, and I drove my own car to school every day. I had a gun in my car every day. I had a knife in my pocket in every class that I went to. I never shot anybody. Never even thought about it. The truth of the matter is, if I had a problem with somebody, I'll meet you tonight after school. I'll meet you out behind the gym or wherever it was, and we'd take care of it. And But when that was over, it was over. With some of them, I did become good friends. I mean, if I got whipped, I didn't immediately go from that into planning how I'm going to shoot this guy. It was just over with. And I want to look tonight at the power of love in a world of hate. The power of love in a world of hate. I want to look at the contrast between love and hate. I want to look at how love always will overcome hate. Turn in your Bibles with me tonight to Romans chapter 12. I've got 25 minutes. I think I can do this. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. If we're going to be the church, our first reaction has to be love. You know why? Because that's who we serve. God, listen, sister. Did you tell her already? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you let me know how that works for you. Ha! That's exactly right. That is who he is. That is who God is. He is. It's not something that he does. It's who he is. And when love becomes who you are, it motivates and it becomes the byproduct of your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is not willing. We talked about this at lunch. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to get saved. You have a free will. You have a choice that you can make. Choose you this day, Joshua said, whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said in chapter 24. But in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17, I want to read this. It says, repay no one evil for evil. What does the world say? The world says not only get revenge, but one up that dude. And you have to understand that the scripture, the word of God, stands in direct opposition to the things of this world. And so if you want to know how to live your life in a world of hate, and you want to live in the power of love, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do you trust the Lord for your salvation? Do you trust the Lord for your provision? Do you trust the Lord for your meal? Do you trust the Lord in every area of your life? But when it comes to getting revenge, we're like, nah, I'm going to handle this one. I don't, God will just be too stinking nice. Hello? How many of you don't want God to be nice in that moment? I mean, I want justice. I want to call down fire from heaven and watch him just get smoked. Well, we wouldn't even care if God helped us. In fact, that's what we're talking about, but he doesn't do that. But that's what we want. Beloved, don't avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if you're... Hey. Settled. I'm going to forgive them. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word never changes principally. Your word stays the same. The way it affects us sometimes does change, but the bottom line of your word remains the same. It's true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is a truth that has run the gamut of time, the whole way through time, Lord, and it still is speaking the same things to us. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to learn in the midst of the outbreak of hatred in our world and the ludicrous antics and actions of some in our country. Lord, I pray that even as bad as that is, you would give us a love for them. And Father, I thank you for it. I need your anointing tonight. Help me to preach this message. Help me to communicate it in such a fashion, Lord, that we could leave here having received something from your Holy Spirit tonight, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So truly, we find ourselves living in a world that would say to us, the natural response is for us to hate. The natural response is for us to seek revenge. The natural response is always probably going to be, I shouldn't even have said probably, because the natural response is always revenge. The supernatural response is to reach out and to act in love. And so we find ourselves living in a world that would say to us, the natural response to hate is hate. The natural response for hate is hate. We would want to return evil for evil, hate for hate, love for love. But I have to remind you tonight that we are called to something much higher. We are called to something much higher. In fact, in verses 17 through 21, there really are commands that relate mainly to dealing with non-believers. we're not talking about the church. We're talking about that ugly world that's out there. How do we respond to that world? How are we going to get that world saved? We're going to get that world saved by showing them the love of Jesus in everything that we do and everything that we say. Even someone that would take out someone that is as beloved as a Charlie Kirk, we have to love that person. We have to love that person. That doesn't feel good. That fellow that stabbed that lady to death on that train, some way, somehow, we've got to love that individual. Because if we don't, if somebody doesn't reach them and communicate the love of the gospel to them, they're going to go to a devil's hell, which was never intended for them to be in. It doesn't mean that we condone it. It doesn't mean that we agree with it. It doesn't mean that we put our hand on them and pat them on the back and tell them, well, it's going to be all right. Listen, you plant corn, guess what? You're going to get corn. You reap what you sow. And he reaped, you know, he sowed some very bad things. But it doesn't change the way you and I, scripturally, are called to respond to that individual. We are truly, we are to pray and intercede for that guy's soul, that somebody somehow would reach him with the gospel. I mean, that's our mandate. When people do evil against us, we are never to pay back evil for evil as much as we might want to. As much as in our mind, we might think they deserve it. Maybe we even said stuff like this. They got what was coming to them. They deserved more than that. And you can fill in the rest of the blanks. But in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. See, in the world that we find ourselves living in, this fallen world, it is often deemed acceptable by some to tear people down verbally or to get back at them if you feel like they hurt you. But Peter here is remembering the very words of Jesus when he taught them to turn the other cheek. And by doing so, he's encouraging his readers, you and I. He encourages readers to pay back wrong with blessing, such as praying for the offenders. Don't return evil for evil. Bless them. Give them something to drink. Give them something to eat. The reality is, in God's kingdom, revenge is unacceptable behavior. It is insulting a person, no matter how indirectly it's been done. We're called not to do it. We are to rise above getting back at those that have hurt us. Well, I'll rise above that right after I get my revenge. That's not the way it works. The reality is, we are to do things in such a way that everyone can see that we are honorable, that I really am my Father's child. That part of my new makeup, my new nature, is love, not hatred. Paul's standard for behavior was not common consensus. It was godliness. Think about what Paul said to those that he was bringing up. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. You got to be following Christ pretty hard to have the ability and the wherewithal to say, listen, you follow me as I follow Christ. You better, if you're going to say that, you had better be following Christ. So the point being made here is that the behavior of believers must be such that no one can rightfully make a claim of wrongdoing. We are to be, as children of God, above reproach. We're to be above reproach. In other words, we are to live our life in such a fashion that they can't find anything wrong with us. They're going to look. They're going to say this, that, and the other thing is wrong. But when we're living for the Lord, we're living right. Amen? To commit the same evil that everyone else was committing against us is indistinguishable from the original offenders. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We can't live and work and act and do the things that the world does. Amen? Point number two, love is a weapon of the Spirit. Love is patient, love is kind, love is all those things that it talks about in 1 Corinthians. Love is a weapon of the Spirit. Love disarms, love heals, and love wins. Love is what held Jesus on the cross, I believe. It wasn't the nails, it was his love for us. It was part of the plan. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 and 19. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Paul counsels us as believers to have as peaceful relations as possible with our unbelieving neighbors and associates. Why? Because of our love and our compassion and our kindness, we might win one to Jesus. Because of how you and I react to the world, it might win somebody to Jesus. You know what I think would be interesting? I think it would be interesting to see how many people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after having a confrontational dialogue, prove me wrong, with Charlie Kirk. I'd like to know that number. I'll bet you it was more than one. I'll bet you it was hundreds, probably. Lives that were changed and transformed because one man stood and exemplified love to the unlovely. He had 100 million followers every month. I don't know how many people he brought to. He brought an entire generation. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Because there must be something about, there's something to this. There's something to it. Love is a weapon of the Spirit. In a perfect world, all people could live peaceably together or peacefully together, but realistically, it's impossible in our imperfect world because this world is a fallen world, and it will be until it's redeemed. But believers, throw this in here, as the salt of the earth, just saying, as the salt of the earth, we should do our part to live in peace with everyone. We ought to change the flavor of the environment that we find ourselves in. We ought to change the flavor. We ought to change the temperature. We are not to be the cause of dissension. As believers, we should do everything within our power to be agents of reconciliation. Didn't God give us the ministry of reconciliation? Number three, Jesus modeled love under pressure. Jesus modeled love under pressure. On the cross, he prayed for his enemies. Even on the cross, he was bringing people to himself. Even on the cross, he reached one more for the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? He modeled love even under pressure. Romans chapter 12, 20 and 21. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, that's a difficult, that last part of that is difficult, to not be overcome by evil, because inside of us, when we see something happen, like what we saw this week happen, something begins to well up inside of us in the flesh that says, I want to handle this. I had someone tell me this week, all I need is 2 minutes with a certain individual, not this kid, not the guy on the bus or on the train, but with someone, I just need 2 minutes with this individual. No, you don't need 2 minutes with that individual. What you need is to pray for that individual. Because your 2 minutes of kicking his hind end is not going to do anything of eternal lasting value for him except drive the wedge farther into between you. Mike and I yesterday went to Medford and took a tree down for a single mother, and it was a dead tree, and it wasn't an easy task to do. And when it was, the last thing to do is to tip the bottom part of the tree over. And Mike says, "Where are you going to put it?" And I said, "I'm going to put it right there." And the lady's like, "Well, it looks to me like it's going to go down the side of my house." I didn't have this. Mike told me this conversation after the fact. I'm glad I didn't hear it. But Mike says, "Where are you going to put it?" I said, "I'm going to put it right here." And this lady was quite adamant that ain't going to happen. But I did everything right. I did the best of my ability, and I put the undercut, and I did all the things, and I had a rope on it and had pressure on it. I put a wedge in the back cut, and I pounded the wedge in really far, and everybody was doing their part. And when the tree tipped over, it went right exactly where I said it was going to go. What's that got to do with things? What it has to do with was the reality is, by faith, we got to believe. I had faith in myself, in my ability. I had faith in what was happening to know that, unless something goes really wrong, which I did not anticipate. There have been times when things have gone really wrong, but that wasn't one of them. And there are telltale signs if you'll just look for them. But we got the tree on the ground, and the lady, after the tree was on the ground, she didn't have enough kind words to say. She was amazed. I can't believe it. She was grateful. Very grateful. And we'll get to it, I promise. We'll get to it. Just give me a minute. We'll get it down. I promise. Believers are not to be the cause of dissension. We are to model love under pressure, under pressure, and as believers that seek to obey God, we are doing what we do is to love His enemies. We're to love our enemies. When the Lord was ministering on earth, how many of you know He had enemies? He had enemies. They couldn't find anything wrong with Him, but they still hated Him. Even Pilate said, "Listen, I find no fault in this man." And they said, "Crucify Him anyway." Now, if that isn't a kangaroo court, I don't know what it is. No matter where Paul and the rest of the apostles traveled, there were enemies that opposed their work. Everywhere you and I go, when you name the name of Christ, there are going to be people that will rise up in opposition to you, not because of maybe who you are, but because of who you stand for. Because who you stand for is in direct opposition of what they want to do. Because it's in their flesh. And Jesus warned the disciples that their worst enemies might be those of their own household. Think about that. Listen, there have been family members that hadn't been all that crazy about the reality that I've come to a relationship with the Lord. They liked me when I was a heathen. Anybody else? They like you better because, you know why? Because they don't feel bad about what they're doing. And now you show up, ruin the whole thing. Isn't that amazing? Unfortunately, there are believers that have enemies because they lack love and patience, not because they're faithful in their witness. People don't love. They lack love. They say they love, but they don't love. The Bible says that you and I will be known by our love one for another. How are we doing with that? We could do better. The good news is you've got tomorrow to do better. You got the rest of today and tomorrow. His mercies are new every morning. Every day I can do better. I can be better at what I'm doing. Every day. Some believers have enemies because they lack love. And it's not because of their faithfulness in their witness. There's a difference between sharing in the offense of the cross and being an offensive Christian. Let me say that again. There's a difference between sharing in the offense of the cross, according to Galatians 5 and 11, and chapter 6, verse 12 through 15, and being an offensive Christian. Have you ever heard of an offensive Christian? Well, that didn't take long. Sounded pretty matter of fact, yes. But we've run across them. I mean, I ran a logging side for several years for a company in Medford, and every winter we went all through the equipment. We maintenanced everything. We did all this kind of stuff. And there was this guy that was a Christian, and he was the most obnoxious guy you ever seen in your life. I mean, he would crawl under a cat and just get in your face and tell you, you're going to go to hell. Well, I probably already knew that. Because of how, I mean, I realized that I'm probably going to hell. But that wasn't doing me any favors. All it did was make me mad because he was being an offense to me. Getting in your, please don't get in my face. Then I'm going to have to put forth the love of the Lord. In the most loving, compassionate way. I don't want to be an offensive Christian. I want to be one that draws people, not repels people. I want to draw people to the cross, not turn them away. And as children of God, we have to live on the highest level. We got to return good for evil. That doesn't make any sense. I don't care if it makes sense or not. Jesus said, while I was his enemy, he died for me. And so I have to live up to the example that he set, not what I think I ought to do. I need to return good for evil. Anybody can return good for good, and anybody can return evil for evil. But the only way to overcome evil is with good. If we return evil for evil, all we're doing is adding fuel to the fire. That's all we do, add fuel to the fire. Even if our enemy is not converted, I still have experienced the love of God in my own heart and have grown in grace. Why? Because I did what the Word said to do. I've tried my best to live as an example for the King of Kings. And these verses summarize the core of Christian living. It summarizes the core of Christian living. If we love someone the way Christ loves us, you're going to be willing to forgive. Hello. Yes, Mary. Good for you, sir. Well, I think he's already gone on to his reward, but you're going to run into those kinds of people. Truth is, if I had that whole thing to do over again, I would hope that I would respond differently than I did then. Probably. Right. Right. Yeah, people talk about those aha moments. My aha moment was when I discovered that God was doing so much more to keep me in his family than he ever was to kick me out. But I thought he was. I thought every time I did the slightest thing wrong, he gone. Took me forever to come to the realization that he's done everything possible to keep me in his family. All I have to do is love him and listen to him and do what he does. If we love someone the way Christ loves us, you'll be willing to forgive. If we experience the grace of God, we're going to want to pass that on to other people. I don't deserve the grace of God. By the way, you need to remember that grace is undeserved favor. I don't deserve his grace. I don't deserve his mercy. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve any of it. But you want to know something? He give it to me anyway. He give it to me anyway. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. That's the bottom line, church. God first loved you. He first loved us. If you know of the grace of God, if you've received the grace of God, you're going to want to pass it on to other people. By giving an enemy a drink, I'm not excusing his misdeeds. By offering him a meal, I'm not condoning what it is that he's done. But what I am doing is I'm recognizing him, I'm forgiving him, and I'm loving that individual in spite of. Listen, you don't have to coddle him. I believe that so much of the time we love people into hell. We don't hold them accountable. You can hold somebody accountable without being ugly. You can. That's what I loved about Charlie Kirk. He knew what he was talking about. And he knew that what most everybody else was talking about was wrong. I'm talking about in those that would come to prove him wrong and bring confrontation. And he would dismantle their argument with the truth of the Scripture, of the Word of God. He never got ugly. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't throw a fit. He just simply spoke truth. And when you speak truth, the lies flee. They have to. He recognized them. He forgives them. He loves them in spite of their sin, just the same way that Jesus Christ loved and died for you and I. How do we love? How do we have love that overcomes hate? How do we love in a world that is hate? You get in the presence of the Lord and you live your life for Jesus. You let Jesus guide you and direct you. He said, that he would, you would hear a still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. He says, don't turn to the right or to the left. Just follow me. I don't know where you're going. You don't have to know where I'm going if you follow me. If you just follow me, I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. How many of you know he's big enough to fight your battles that you might encounter along the way? He's a great big God. He's calling every one of us, church, to live for his glory and for his honor, not for ours. He's calling us to be his example of him on earth. He's calling us to live for his glory and for his honor outside, in our homes, amongst our family. So many people live one way in the church, and we say all kinds of good things, and we don't do this, we don't drink, smoke, cuss, do the things with all, you know, all that stuff. We don't do any of that in church. But when we go home, how do we respond? When I'm on the work, on the job, how do I respond? Because the same Jesus that you're claiming in here is the same one that's with you out there. Well, what I'm doing behind my own doors, that's up to me. No, it's not. Well, now you're kind of getting ugly. No, I'm not. I'm speaking truth and love. If we're not changed 24 hours a day changed, then we're not changed. If we say one thing in here, we need to live it out there. I smashed my thumb yesterday in the door of my pickup ever so gently. I just grabbed the door and I just shut it. And I forgot to move my thumb. And I didn't throw a fit. I didn't scream and cuss. I simply, as fast as I could, opened the door to release my thumb. There was a day when I would have probably cussed the door open. But that didn't work then, and wasn't going to work now. It's a process. I'm not saying that I'm completely over all of that stuff. I'm not, because there are moments that I give in. Listen, I'm just trying to be honest. I have those moments. But I have to be quick to ask God to forgive me and move on and not let the enemy beat me up. But if I'm going to say something, to the best of my ability, I need to live up to it. Amen. Listen, we've been called not only to be the salt of the earth and the light, but we're to be love. We're to love like Jesus loved. And that ain't always easy. But it will be worth it when we see Jesus. Amen. What? Okay. This prayer is going out, Lord, to call down all the fire and coals that we can. Oh, Judy. That's awesome. Has it changed? Atta girl. good for you. Good for you. Yeah. But you press through. That's the good point. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for tonight. And I pray as we leave this place tonight, Lord, I pray that you would give us a love that overcomes hate. I pray that you would help us to be men and women that love like Jesus loved. Lord, that we would live and move and breathe and have our being based on you, Lord. God, we help us to deviate from the natural response to hate, but give us the supernatural response to love. Help us with that, Lord. Help us to rise above getting back at those that have hurt me. Help me to live like Jesus lived. Help me to forgive. Help me to set the example for those that are coming along behind me. Tomorrow, when we go to work or when we go to school, help us to be salt and light and love in a world that needs salt and light and love. Help us, God, to be your ambassadors, your representatives here on this earth. And Lord, if you come and take us out in the rapture, to God be the glory. Thank you. I'm ready. Let's go. But Lord, while we remain here, let us be vigilant about reaching everyone that we can, regardless of their history, for your glory and for your honor. Send out this mass of people tonight into a world that needs Jesus, into a world that is a plain baked potato, that we might be salt and sour cream and onions and all the things that would make a baked potato that's just blah, so yummy. Let our church be a place that's inviting. Let our church be a place where people can come and feel the love and the presence of a God that would save them no matter what. Let us encourage people to come. I don't know if I could go to church. I'm pretty sure the ceiling won't. It's pretty secure. God, help us to invite the world into the